The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned into Thursday's edition of the podcast, where we've got racing from Musselburgh, Huntington, Sedgefield, an evening card at Chelmsford City and an Irish meeting over at Clonmel. So plenty to go at on Thursday. Join us from 1:40pm to catch all of the action. In the meantime, though, my name is Sam Norris and I'm joined by Will Smith to take a look at some of the betting on Thursday. How are you today, Will?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Grand National Weights came out yesterday, Will.
Yep.
Any real surprises for you, or is that about where you'd have them if you were Phil Smith?
Yeah, I think it probably is about where you'd have them. I think he was quite openly admitting that it was less of a tricky thing this year in condensing those at the top of the weights, because there's no sort of absolute standout 170, 180 yeah. rated horse. You've got a few at the top who are obviously Gold Cup bound, the likes of Carlingford, Lord Windermere, Many Clouds, Sam Winner, Boston Bob potentially as well. So they're obviously all good horses, but in a Gold Cup year where, again, there's apart from Silvagnaco Conti, there's probably no real standout. So at the top of the weights, it's probably as you'd have it. And then all the way down, pretty much most horses have got their mark that they're, you know, that is theirs for normal races, as it were. So, no real surprises. There are a couple that have been bumped up a few pounds, actually. Saint R, who is a horse I think has been targeted at the race and will pretty much get in now, but he won at Catterick recently and he's fully a stone higher now as a result of that, which I think is a bit harsh. While it may guarantee him getting into the race, it's probably a little bit harsh and it's left him on a mark which is probably a little bit too high. And there's a couple of other interesting ones as well. I think Alvarado is slightly higher. He's given him £1 extra to try and ensure that he's in the race, given that he finished placed in it last year. I think Phil Smith didn't want there to be a situation where a horse that was placed in the race last year didn't get a run in it this year, which would be, because there's no rule that says, maybe there should be, maybe that, sure, that should be guaranteed. But anyway, probably as I'd have it.
Yeah, so fair enough. And one thing Phil Smith was quite vocal about was he doesn't rate the chances of shut the front door very much. And but they're saying this morning in the paper, if AP was to partner Shut the Front Door, who's the 10-1 favourite at the time recording, he could go off as short as 4-1 for the National.
Yeah, well, it probably could happen because
it's romantic,
I mean, there are so many.
Suppose,
yeah, there are so many sort of strings that are all going to come together. Obviously, it's probably it's AP's last National, you'd think. Shut the Front Door, John Joe O'Neill, JP McManus, you know, the public gamble is just going to ensue. I mean, from now it's just going to carry on, I'm sure, until post time. And you know, it could well be of that kind of situation where the flood of public money on the day just means that he goes off a ridiculously short price. I mean, in terms of his claims, obviously, yes, if he turns up on the day fully fit, ready, John Joe's happy with him, then he has a chance. Obviously, a mark of 1.53 for a horse who I think they thought at one stage might well be a Gold Cup candidate, but perhaps have admitted that maybe he just lacks slightly in class for that. But a mark of 1.53, given that he won the Irish National off 1.42. Now, Phil Smith had mentioned that he thought the Irish National form was terrible, which it may well be working out badly, but I think Shut the Front Door won with a little bit in hand, and he's going to stay all day and he'll probably enjoy the goodish ground, and if he jumps and travels, then he has to have a chance. But he's 12-1 I think now, 12-11-1, which is probably short enough already. Not for me.
And do you think that will be the one that AP partners as opposed to Carlingford Luck or one of the other JP McManus horses?
I'd be very surprised if he wasn't on Shut the Front Door. I think if Shut the Front Door wasn't there on the day, then he'd have to choose something else. But I think if he turned up in form, he's the one that John Joe has targeted at the race, clearly, for JP McManus. I'd be very, very surprised. I think Carlingford Luck would have to he'd have to run very, very well in the Gold Cup, and he'd have to prove that he stays, you know, 3 mile 2 in the Gold Cup to suggest that he might stay 4.5. And he'd also have to come out of that race really, really well and not have a tough race, which it's a Gold Cup. You'd be, so many horses go to the Grand National from the Gold Cup and just kind of don't run their races. So I'd be very, very surprised. And I mean, JP, as ever, has a battalion of entries, but you know, to me, nothing stands out as much as Shut the Front Door. I think the one that might, if it came up really soft or heavy, a horse like Wick Hill, AP might consider him nearer the time if it was really soft, because I don't think soft ground would be ideal for Shut the Front Door, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't on him.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have a fancy for National at this stage?
Yeah, in terms of price, I think there's some nice prices out there. The one that probably strikes most at this stage is Knight in Milan for Keith Reevely. He's, I think, 50-1. For a horse who loves Doncaster, he goes so well there. His run style will be perfectly suited to Aintree. He likes to race on the pace. He's a sound jumper. He's got a nice mark. He's got a weight 10 stone 9, which if one of the top weights stays in, then he'll, you know, that'll be a nice weight for him. And he stayed on well over 3 miles and 3 miles 2 at Doncaster. And it might well be that he's reached the ceiling of his ability at 3 miles on 1.46, because he's sort of climbed up the ladder at that particular distance. But I think the way he runs suggests that he might well get this extreme trip. And I think, you know, decent ground will be fine for him. And he's just the type of horse that he's not got a particularly public appealing profile as such, but he's a horse that I think will run really, really well in the race, and at 50-1 currently is a very good price.
Okay, yeah, fair enough then. Yeah, Knight in Milan currently trading with us here at 50-1. Speaking of big price horses, we can't move on to Thursday's racing without mentioning your nap yesterday. 25-1 shot, agonisingly beaten by just half a length. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, well, it's a horse.
It was a great pick from you on the face of it.
Well, thank you. I can't believe it went off that price, to be honest, because most of his form at Musselburgh and tied in fairly well with a horse called Fly Vinny of Sandy Thompson's, who has proved his handicap marked, the initial handicap mark he got, to be on the lenient side. And the Cobbler Swain hadn't been reassessed on the back of that. And I think he had a mark in the low hundreds, 100s, which... you know, watches most of his races, and he travels really, really well. He jumps well. I think he's going to be a nice chaser in time. I think he could make up into a 130 type chaser. But yeah, just in a race where all the money was for John Joe O'Neill's at reception, who sadly went wrong, I think between the second and the third last. And he, you know, if he'd have stayed sound, he probably would have won the race anyway. So, and obviously thoughts go to his connections, having lost a very nice, promising horse. But all the money was for him. So everything else almost got forgotten about in the market, and it was just a huge price, really. And I just thought it might be worth siding. You can't be afraid of one horse.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I think Peter Buchanan rode a great race because he beat the one horse that he thought he needed to beat, and then Jason McGuire managed to blindside both of them and get up in the shadows of the post. Yeah, I mean, it was close, but obviously the death of the favourite puts things a little bit into perspective.
Yeah,
really,
sure. So. Yeah, and at least it's keeping the nap table competitive, because had you won that one, you took 20, 30 quid clear. No consolation to yourself.
It's probably better off, isn't it, that it goes, you know, that we keep it slightly more open and a bit of tension going into the last couple of months of the season. I'm sure Cheltenham will bring a bit more spice to it, because invariably there'll be, you know, some very big price winning naps. You'd have thought there people pick ones in the handicaps that win at 33-1 and that will shake things up nicely. So, yeah, I don't want to be too far clear.
Yeah, fair enough then. All right, we're there. We'll move on then to take a quick look at Thursday's racing. As I mentioned, we're racing at Musselburgh, Huntingdon, Sedgefield, Chelmsford City and Clonmel on Thursday. We've picked up two from the Musselburgh card and one from Sedgefield to go through. The first of these comes up at Musselburgh in the 2.55. Novices limited handicap, ran over 3 miles, class 4 contest, with 7 of them lining up to contest this on a day of small fields at Musselburgh.
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? I mean, Musselburgh is probably the one shining light at the moment in terms of having good ground.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because they've had quite a few race meetings there recently, and they've had good, you know, good cards for them. So maybe it's just sort of one meeting too many in the space of the last couple of weeks. But that said, I mean, sometimes with these smaller cards, they're a little bit easier to pick through. And I think Island Heights stands out in probably the feature race of the day, the 3 mile handicap chase. I think it's his second try over fences over 3 miles, and the first one came over course and distance, where he was 3¾ lengths off Royal Player, who was a probably a handicap snip still off 1.37. He had won a race at Ludlow very well previously, and Island Heights was really the only one to come out of the pack and give him anything to think about. And I think he since went to Ayr in a three-runner novice chase, which didn't really suit. I think Craig Nicol didn't really know what to do on that occasion, whether to sit in behind the last samurai of Donald McCain's or whether to press on, and he sort of got caught between two stools almost, and that set things up for the last samurai, who actually was running a cracker of a race at Kelso last weekend off a mark of 1.30, which I think probably makes Island Heights still fairly treated off 1.17, given that he was going to give him a race. He's racked up 3 seconds now, which some people might be slightly put off by, but I don't think that's anything to do with his resolve. It's just that he keeps bumping into one or two too good. He won a race at Ayr. He won his point to point, so he knows how to get his head in front. And I think 3 miles, good ground off this mark, is just about right. And he stands out like a sore thumb in that race.
Okay, fair enough. Island Heights in that one for Will, then for Lucinda Russell and Craig Nicol. Move on into another one at Musselburgh. This one, the 3:30, a handicap hurdle, ran over 2 miles, a Class 3 contest, with 10 of them lining up to contest this. Who makes the appeal here, Will?
Yeah, a bit of a stab in the dark here, really. It's a horse called Passage Vendome, who has spent all of his career with Willie Mullins, and is a good ground horse. All of his form in Ireland was on good ground, and he's gone slightly off the ball over the course of the last year and a half, maybe. But it might just be that he's, you know, in a stable where obviously Willie Mullins will have so many horses, and some of the lesser lights, you know, might benefit from a change to a smaller stable or a fresher pastures. And it's interesting that he joins Morris Barnes, who does quite well, I think, with the smaller string that he's got. And interestingly, I remember a couple of years ago, I was up at Ayr when a horse was having his debut in a bumper called Dib Dabs for Morris Barn, which was backs off the boards from huge prices down to favouritism, I think. He ended up not winning, but he had actually been with Willie Mullins for a long, long time.
All right.
And it's the same ownership here, the Edinburgh Woolen Mill. The ownership that he was in at Willie Mullins' stable was George Mullins, which presumably is a relative, I don't know. But and it might just be that maybe this is, I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit, but
sure,
been a carefully constructed plan to get this horse, you know, freshened up and moved to Morris Barnes' stable, you know, potentially a fairly low-key stable, and down into a 0-125 in England, where actually the next highest rated is 113, and Passage Vendome is on 125 himself. So he's clearly on his best form, head and shoulders above anything else in the race. It's just we haven't seen him for 154 days, and when we have seen him previous to that, he wasn't in a great deal of form. But there are a few things to sort of note that might suggest that maybe it might be the day for him. I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit here. He'll either go off 2-1 favourite or 33-1.
Yeah, sure.
And finish out the back of the telly. But just one of those that I thought, well, that might be worth having a quick look at the early markets and seeing which way he's going.
Okay, yeah, could be an interesting one then up at Musselburgh on the 3:30. The final race of the day, then we'll go to Sedgefield for our last one on the podcast. This one comes up at 3:05. It's a handicap chase at Sedgefield, ran over 2.5 miles. It's a Class 5 event, this one, with 9 of them down to go to post. Who gets the nod here?
Yeah, a horse called My Friend George, who I think will be the second or third runner for Kenneth Slack, who is the brother-in-law of Diane Sayer, who has taken over all of Evelyn Slack's horses. I mean, presumably he had a fairly leading hand anyway, but the license is in his name now. A horse who came from a Newcastle race over fences at the end of November, which for a Class 5 handicap is working out extremely well. About 4 or 5 of them in there have won since, and they've gone on to produce much, much better form. And obviously when you're talking about 70 or 80 rated animals, if they're all doing that, then it clearly suggests that was probably an above average race for the for the grade. And I think that these probably aren't his ideal conditions, 2.5 miles round Sedgefield on softish ground, but he's actually been dropped £7 for that Newcastle run, where he ran really, really well for a long way. and his last winning mark was 85 back in April 2013. I think 3 miles and good ground might be his thing, and I'm not normally one for backing a horse not under his optimum conditions, but he's proved he handled soft ground as it was at Newcastle last time, and the way he travelled through that race in the first time cheap pieces which are retained suggested that I think 2.5 might be fine. And actually his half-brother, I'm Your Man, is a horse who was in the same stable where Evelyn Slack trained him, and he's actually gone well at Sedgefield. He'd won a couple of times previously. So there are a lot of things maybe to like about him, and he's extremely well handicapped on the basis of that Newcastle run. And he's right down the bottom of the weights, and he might just be forgotten about in the early markets as well. So he'd be my third and final selection.
Okay, fair enough. And there we are, the thoughts of Will Smith ahead of Thursday's racing. If you could just spin us through, please, one more time, Will, your three selections for Thursday's cards.
Yeah, I'm going for Island Heights, up at Musselburgh, Lucinda, Russell's 3 mile chaser in the 2:55 up there. And then a bit of a speculative one at Musselburgh in the race after that, Passage Vendome for Maurice Barnes, ex-Willie Mullins horse. And then my friend George, who's a very well-handicapped animal in the 3:05 at Sedgefield. Whether these are his optimum conditions, I'm not entirely sure, but I think he might get away with it.
OK, thanks very much then. And you can join Will alongside Chris Pimlott and Mick Norton from 1:40 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. We've got racing at Musselburgh, Huntington and Sedgefield in the afternoon, Chelmsford City in the evening, and an Irish card over at Clonmel. Thanks for joining me on the podcast, Will, and good luck with your selections on Thursday.
Cheers, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.